The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I don't keep it.
Hi everybody, this is Sarah.
And this is Megan.
And you're listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you for listening. It is April 21.
We should be recording outside right now.
Well.
Because it's so...
Is it?
Gorgeous outside.
Is it windy?
No.
Oh.
It's perfect. But you know what we're going to do after this is take naps.
Of course.
And not enjoy.
Did you have to do dance today?
I have to do dance, yeah. The girls are dancing right now, and then they have a little show at 6 o'clock. Or 5 o'clock?
How fun.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Where's their dumbass show?
It's just at Shauna's.
Oh, okay.
At the just at the dance studio.
How fun for you and all parents who get to watch.
Yep. It sure is.
Well, I thought we would start with introducing some new people that have joined our Patreon, which again we're forever grateful for.
Yeah, we are.
Jana Wersal or Wersal.
Jana, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining. We appreciate it so much. And you can find some episodes just for Patreons on there and some random other weird stuff, I think, that's on there. And enjoy some pictures, some interviews of us behind the scenes.
Drunken
Oh,
antics.
They're mostly terrible. And Sonia or Sonia or Red Sonia or Red Sonia. Did you ever see that movie, Red Sonja?
No.
With Brigitte Nielsen? She was Conan the Barbarian's girlfriend.
No.
And she like either fucked guys or cut off their balls with her sword or something. You never heard and saw Red Sonja?
Absolutely not.
No. It surprises me you've never seen it. I thought it would be right up your alley. Oh, okay.
Nope.
Well,
no, sure wasn't.
But thank you so much for joining our Patreon. And we're hoping to get a, we always say that, but get an episode. We have it picked out. We just have to watch it and do it. And we usually will say something that got us through our past week.
We do.
Our glitter in the shitter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to?
Yeah, I can start. So. If you're a longtime listener, then thank you. You're certainly for sure crazy as fuck. And we love that. But if you're a longtime listener, you know that I love food and that I've recently been having some menopause issues. And one of the things that I've done is gone gluten free.
Yeah. Yep.
So one of my dance mom besties, Melissa, is also gluten-free.
Oh.
Her family has some celiac.
Wow.
And she told me about these things, and I just tried them today for the first time, and they were delicious. And they are called Outer Aisle Cauliflower Sandwich Thins.
It sounds like eating, like you poop onto a pan and you let it dry in the sun and flatten it, and then you cut the poop into shapes.
That they are similar to that, in that it's not
cauliflower sandwich things. All the years you spent calling me a jackass,
it's
asshole,
it's
and
true.
Now you're eating sandwich poop thins. Oh, sometimes you have to wait many years for your redemption.
You deserve this.
I just eat all just real poop now.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Not sun-dried poop.
I'm sorry that I wasn't supportive.
No, you were not.
I didn't know.
But that's good to find.
Also, to be fair,
crackers.
You weren't in any menopause issues either. You were just doing
that's
it
true.
To do it.
I didn't have menopause on top of it.
I would never have done this. And in fact, I cried because I had to do it. But then I just felt so much better. I couldn't deny it. Anyway, these are like things that you can use instead of buns. So it's
yes,
cauliflower,
that's good.
It's,
you're
parmesan,
desperate for that stuff. Yeah.
Nutritional yeast and eggs, and they whip it together and bake it into little circle shapes like buns. And then I grilled hamburgers today for lunch, and I ate them on a cauliflower thin.
If I would have presented this to you,
no, I would have said
other occasion,
what the fuck is
you
wrong with
kicked
me, Sarah?
And slapped and hit me.
I would have. You're right.
Cauliflower sandwich. I'm sure buy them if you suffer from the celiac. No, but that's true. You're desperate for any kind of carb. You can't have buns. You can't have bread. You can't have anything.
No,
unless
and
it's.
I just
you have to make it or buy it, and it's $1,000, and it's hard. It is very hard. I
got
them
at Costco. Gluten-free bread just is so gross.
It's an acquired taste,
yeah.
For sure. Target has some that's not bad.
I mean, like, I can eat it as toast, like, if I toast it and eat it, but I don't know. I've never
you
really
get used
been.
To it.
Yeah, I just, bread's not been my thing anyway, traditionally, but I do like a sandwich when I want, you know, and so
yeah,
it's
that's hard because you can't just have bread.
Whatever. I can't believe that was my that was the thing that got me through the week. It was a fucking cauliflower bun.
Oh, I better write that down because
oh, don't worry, I'll send you the picture. But thank you, Melissa, because they actually were really good, and you know that we love nutritional yeast.
Well, yes, I guess,
and so. There is nutritional. Now, Nut Bar is going to be driving to Costco to get them.
She might.
When she hears nutritional yeast, she's on the road.
Well, mine is a nail polish.
Oh, I wondered why you had that down.
It's this. Can you see it? Everybody listen. Can you see it? Just look here. No. It's Essie. And it's called Hard to Resist Advanced. I don't know what the advanced does, but my nails were just kind of peeling and chipping. Mm-hmm. And I bought this at Target, of course. Where else do I go? And I swear to God, I just had to trim my nails because they were getting too long. And I bought it 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
They grew like crazy and haven't peeled or anything, but like they have never even had like white, you know, what like they, of course they're all filthy now because I was out.
Were you doing lawn yard stuff? Oh,
I was out in the yard and then came back in.
I thought your yard looked nice.
No,
today
I have
when
to
I
cut the grass. Oh yeah. No, obviously. But I swear to God, it's just, I don't know. It works like a charm, like a hardener to keep it from breaking or peeling.
And they look shiny.
Yeah. And it was like, I don't know, $5 or something.
Hmm.
But I've had some other ones, but this one works so well that I thought, oh my gosh, I better write that down.
Well, thank God. Yeah. Something went right for
something
us.
Something worked. Yeah. It was great. And then we do have a Facebook group. We have an Instagram. You can follow whatever. So if I am not too behind, I put up our cases and stuff. I need to obviously do more of that, but pictures from our what we watch, and I put up our glitters and things like that. We have a book club, and information on it is in our Facebook and Instagram. But everyone's probably pick a funny. It's a lot of dick, so if you join, just you can't be offended easily.
No,
I mean you can be, but then just don't ever look. I guess.
Yeah,
but I liked Kylie D. put an article about, I'm assuming a British, older British couple, because it had a pounds sign by the money.
Uh-huh.
And their internet bill, whatever, was 200 pounds over because of all these porn X-rated backdoor bimbo tits McGee on vacation porn movies that was all over their internet bill. And they weren't going to pay it because that obviously was a mistake. And then you look at the indignant elder lady who is just so offended that porn would be on her bill. And then you look at the older gentleman and he's like, don't. That older gentleman didn't realize he had to pay for all that porn he was getting when his wife was at market.
He was like a deer caught in the headlights.
You know that old man bought all that porn.
He ordered every single porno on that bill.
Oh my gosh.
100%.
That lady is acting like she doesn't know her husband doesn't look at all that porn. Mm-mm. Of course he does. Every husband has gross porn all over their computer and phone.
And we have been the detectives to prove it several times.
We've proved it hundreds of times.
Yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of times with all of our friends' husbands and our own.
Yeah. I know.
Disgusting. Mine, mine weren't like so much funny as they were horrifying this time. The first one, Tammy Smart put on that fucking picture from Australia where the spider wasp, there's a spider wasp in Australia. And if you've listened before, you know that we love our Australian listeners and we really want to go there because it seems so beautiful.
Oh, it seems wonderful.
But there's so many fucking weird bugs and snakes and kangaroos that beat the shit out of everyone.
They just pummel your genitals.
And then there are jellyfish in the ear kanji the size of your pinky fingernail that will fucking kill you.
Yeah.
And I'm just terrified. And so this just solidified.
That was scary.
My horror. It looked like something I've never, I thought it was at first all one organism, like some sort of a crab that had like long crab legs sticking out. But that was the fucking spider. That was how big the spider was.
Ew.
And
that it was eating?
Dead. And then the spider wasp was eating.
Oh, no.
The huntsman.
Oh, God.
It was so disgusting. It was terrifying. And
they're just a stronger people.
They must be. Where are Aussie listeners? Please tell me that that's not a common occurrence. And that was just like probably the biggest huntsman spider ever, and that it happened in the wilderness where there were no people.
I feel like it's just an everyday occurrence.
God damn it. The other one was Melissa Park put, some stupid bitch brought a dead person to the bank.
I saw that.
And tried to make him sign?
She weakened at Bernie's, her uncle.
She did.
Yeah. I mean, that's a dumb bitch.
How did she?
But I guess he died very shortly before she brought him to the bank to sign off. And then she kept flopping his hand because he was a deceased gentleman.
Why did she think?
And I'm sure he voided his bowels and you could smell that he was a deceased gentleman. And
so
she kept wheeling him around.
Literally, they were on their way and he died?
I don't know. It said he had died like very, very shortly before she was taking him.
Well, there was like no rigor.
Yeah, I think he had died very shortly before that.
Flopping.
Maybe she had was probably trying to take him, knowing it was had very little time left to sign off all his money to her, and he passed on the way. But then you don't bring a corpse into a bank.
You sure don't
ever do that. Don't do it.
No,
it's odd. It's horrifying, and I think it might be illegal
to
cart around
is.
A corpse and pretend they're alive.
I mean,
I don't feel like that's right.
It was a very famous movie in the 80s.
Yes, but we don't
all
do it for real.
At it, but it's not.
And that weekend at Bernie's corpse wouldn't have lasted the whole weekend,
no.
I think. And especially all they had him all over the place in all sorts
in the
of
heat.
In the heat too, in the water, and he was he water skiing or in a boat?
Yeah.
He was all over the place. Don't do that in real life though. It's not the same. I don't feel like it works out the same.
Did you find one?
Yeah, I said that porn couple.
Oh yeah, the porn couple.
So
I swear to God, I am losing.
Yeah, you have
mind.
Severe dementia.
I do. Okay.
Case we're going to talk about today.
Oh, we are actually going to talk about a case.
Right.
This is a true crime podcast.
We'd get to it eventually. We take our time.
Okay. I feel like we were kind of short and succinct this time. Okay, let's talk about it.
It's A Deadly Affair is one of our favorite shows with Miss Susan Lucci narrating. And I certainly wish they would have had more seasons of the show.
It's a gem.
So this comes from season 3, episode 9. Mm-hmm. I didn't write down what it was called, though, but you can find it.
I think I wrote it down.
Randy is here in the
Randy, just right in my face. Yep. It's okay.
Presenting his butthole here.
This was called Deadly Affairs, season 3, episode 9. Is that what we said? Games People Play.
That's right. It was in my head there. Games People Play. So the crime takes place in, I think, the best year ever to be alive, 1984.
We've talked about this numerous times.
Yes. 1984 to me is the best year so far in my 49 years. You can't beat 84.
And it's, yeah, it is just the best year
ever. Movies, I know we talked about movies, but I just wanted to bring them up again.
Times.
Can you imagine? Okay. And these are just some. If I, Randy, could think of like a year where there were this many good movies and like absolutely important to pop culture movies, I can't think of any besides the 80s. Maybe the 90s might have had some good years, but lately we're lucky if we get one good movie you can go to the theater for and see a good movie that just like makes an impression like this. So first of all, Romancing the Stone, I've seen 100 times.
Yep,
I love it so much. Top Secret, one of my favorite movies of all time. All of Me was a great one with Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin, but we also had like Splash. My God, that movie was
everything.
I mean, I saw it as a kid.
Everyone
when it came out, and everyone like mermaids and
to name their kid Madison.
Yes,
remember
everything about it. Eating, I mean, no one eats lobster now without thinking. Remember when she just ate the whole? ate the whole thing. I mean, Police Academy. And then Gremlins, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, Karate Kid, Footloose.
Ow!
My God. Like,
you forgot 16 Candles.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I have it here. 16 Candles, Amadeus.
Oh, I loved that.
I didn't care for it.
Oh.
Supergirl Amadeus. And Firestarter.
Firestarter with Drew Barrymore. Yes.
My God.
So many.
So many good movies.
It was the best.
It was a great year.
And the songs were just as great.
Oh, I'm sure.
They were ones that you will never forget as long as you live. And we've talked about them a ton. But, what just happened? I had them pulled up.
And then your porn came up.
And then
instead.
My porn kicked up. Footloose, obviously, Kenny Loggins, right? Hello, Lionel Richie.
Oh, we have
the
Lionel
Ghostbusters
right
song. Yeah. Rory's favorite song of all time, Karma Chameleon by Culture Club. I ain't missing you at all. John Waite, remember that? Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
Yes.
God, you couldn't. You
good
couldn't
ones.
Beat it. Just so
it was a
great.
Good time.
It just, really was.
That's how life should have stayed, I think.
Uptown Girl by Billy Joel. Good.
And I would Prince. like the technology in medical fields. I like that. Other technology, we don't need it.
No.
I mean, I'm great. I guess podcasts would be good.
I
keep
guess.
That. Okay. Anyway, so let's get on with this case.
So just... Let's feel sad that our victim couldn't experience
the
greatness of 1984.
She got her 1984 cut short. Well, no, she didn't because it was November, wasn't it?
It was
September.
Close. Okay.
But she still couldn't experience the whole year.
No.
Well, we're going to go all the way back to 1957. We're going to meet our couple. Maria is meeting Rob Marshall.
Yes.
And in the reenactment, because Deadly Affairs is mostly reenactments, with some interviews with some real people from the crime itself or like crime writers and reporters telling the story. So Maria is not at all dressed like 1957.
No, neither of them are. No?
And Rob is just wearing plain like 2007 clothes and smelling a rose. If I looked across a field and saw just some weird nerd standing straight still but smelling a rose, I would think this is a serial killer. Something's wrong with this guy. And I would run the other way or yell, "Hey, pedophile!" or something horrible at this person and run. But Maria said, "You know what? I'm going to walk right up to this guy. This creepy Hannibal Lecter-looking guy, nerd.
Who's smelling absolute roses.
Nerd alert, too. Nerd top to bottom.
In a field."
And now they said that it was love at first sight. Mm-hmm. But then Susan Lucci said that Maria was in for a real long wait because Maria was 15 at the time and Rob was 18. But this is 1957. I feel like if you weren't married by 15, they called you a total loser.
Yeah, I mean, for sure at 17 or 18. So she had a couple years to wait.
Right.
Yeah.
So they kind of, it said they weren't, it's kind of brushed over that. I don't think they were porking, but maybe they were. They went to high school and then it said college, but did Rob go to college?
I thought he just went to the Air Force.
Or did she
something.
Go to college?
I don't know.
But when when college is done, it said they got married. And I'm thinking, like, you know, women did go to the college in the 60s, but it was not, like, super common at all, I feel. It was like you just graduated high school and maybe you got married or you got a job.
Again, I think they couldn't talk about it much because their time reenactment was so poor that they just didn't want to spend a lot of time in the past because nothing
about it. They
didn't
try about it at all.
No. I am not kidding you. Like, not even, I kept going, what? This is supposed to be in the 50s?
They spent zero effort.
No.
Zero.
Her hair looked like, 2010. It was like long bangs off to the side, just down. Like,
right. She had some like, and blue they didn't eyeshadow.
Try.
And that was not 50s either.
They didn't try.
But they get out of college, they get married is pretty much the point. In Philadelphia. But Robert's in the Navy, but he's a pilot in the Navy. And he's in the Navy for a while. They say that they are happy newlyweds and they just show them awkwardly hugging on a staircase for like 15 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that to me was awkward and odd. And the Rob actor was awkward. The young Robert actor was very awkward. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the late 60s. We jump ahead. Now the couple has three boys and they're living in Toms River, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is like an upper middle class little town. We see the actual Mayor Tom, and he's like 100. But he says, you know, the Marshalls were like just an average family. And we actually see their family priest, Father Joseph, who says they look like the perfect family. But I don't know if he was. Was he their priest?
I don't know. He looked young.
Yeah.
Maybe at the end
young.
Of their
so
lives.
I don't know. I mean, he was old. He didn't look like he was old enough to be a priest from way back then, I suppose. So they're living a really lovely life with their three sons.
Right.
Rob gives up the military, though, and he goes into selling insurance. And he's away from home quite a bit, but he becomes very, very successful. Mm. And we get into the 70s now. They show Robert schmoozing at like a business lunch, but it just looks like a cafeteria at Disney World.
And again,
like you get your Disney hamburger on a tray and you get and then you sit down at a table and there was no effort for 70s, none.
Not even like this was even more insulting than the 50s because at least in the 50s they kind of had like men had short haircuts, whatever. There were no sideburns, there were
no pattern suits,
no leisure suits.
Absolutely no effort into 70s.
I was appalled.
And Robert's like going table to table. He did have a drink in his hand, I think a booze drink.
Well, thank God.
Maybe. Which he would have had in the 70s, but not even the ladies are in 70s dress.
No.
They look like tourists at a shitty amusement park.
Yeah.
But he's like schmoozing table to table, and he's like, do you want to buy some insurance? Or, you know, whatever. And it's acting like he's just this great insurance salesman. And they say Rob was such a go-getter. He's getting these record sales and he ends up a pretty huge success. And then someone said he was like an alpha. He was acting like an alpha male that constantly was just bragging about how successful he was. Like, that sounds like an absolute asshole. Why would you want to buy insurance from this dick?
Yeah.
He seems like a smarmy weirdo, but I guess he just had enough pizzazz that he was a very good salesman.
I thought he was handsome.
In real life. Oh, yeah. They showed a real picture. He did kind of look gangster-like, though.
Yeah, but he was more handsome
than I thought he would be.
Even as an older person, like I saw one when he was like 60 or something. I was like, he's kind of handsome.
Now, as Rob is getting more and more successful, you know, they go back to Maria, who's at the home. She's enjoying at first his more extra money.
Well, they got a pool.
Yeah, they moved and built a lovely home with a pool, and they show them just relaxing by the pool. Robert's jumping in. She's in her little bikini, and they're just living up life, and it looks lovely.
I can put up with a lot for a fucking pool.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And to just be at home.
Yeah.
And not have to go to a shitty job where I take it up the chute all day.
Yeah.
So Rob is out selling insurance, they say Maria is at home maintaining the perfect home and taking care of her boys. Mm-hmm. Well, Maria, you could do all that shit and work a full-time shitty job at the same time.
You could.
Oh, but so things are going okay. But we get to 1983. They've been married 19 years. And Rob doesn't quite get as excited a boner for Maria anymore. His boners for Maria are depressed.
He's had
and
it.
Flaccid. She's not cutting it for him anymore. And Maria's probably like, I've seen those balls 1,600 times over and over and over. And I don't care for those balls.
No.
And so they're growing apart. Rob is still out and about all the time. Maria's at home, but her boys are now in college. That's the best time, Maria. You don't have these goddamn kids to feed constantly, to clean up after constantly, to argue with constantly, to get them to try to behave and do what they're supposed to do, and drive them all over goddamn town. Mm-hmm. They're away and they're trying to be responsible and go to college and get their own goddamn job, Maria. Enjoy it. But she was lonely for her boys. She cared for her children.
I think at this in 84, one was a junior in high school and then the other two
I think were out of college. Yeah, so they're older and they don't need her as much.
No.
But
so she could have had all that time to just sit by their pool.
Oh my God, and just read magazines, magazine after magazine.
What the fuck was that town called? Tom's something?
Tom's River.
River. Tom's.
Yeah. Go to Tom's River. And go get a drink in the afternoon and
go lay out by your pool, Maria.
But Robert, now he's still out and about going and schmoozing and selling.
Going to country club.
Yeah,
all the time.
And just being a total doucher.
Yeah.
So at this country club, Robert sees as he goes to different fancier spots in town, he's running into this woman named Farrah Senta. It sounds like Placenta. Placenta is a 41-year-old and she's a vice principal. And
Placenta.
When Farrah Senta is presented Placenta in the show, they do the old Deadly Affairs where the mistress, you know, they pan up with the camera with a fan, like a Beyonce fan.
Yes,
and they pan up from shoes to head. And she, of course, they're always wearing sexy red dress, always. And she has a sexy red dress and they get up to the face and they went,
Placenta.
Placenta's face. And this is the actress. I don't know what she really looks like. They didn't do the actress justice with how they style their hair and her makeup.
No, her eye makeup was
so
horrible.
Terrible that it looked like she maybe needed a bag over her head.
The eyeliner eyeliner was like down.
Oh, they made her look terrible. Terrible. Like where if she saw like is she a boner would have seen her and the boner would have ran for the hills.
Yeah. And you're like, no, she's
the boner
not a
packed up its bindle and hitchhiked its way down to Florida.
She's a principal. She's
yeah. She would have been much better put together. So anyway, Robert somehow puts Vaseline on his eyes and gets a boner for Ferrisenta, and they start having an affair.
What?
They're porking like crazy. Now, Placenta was also a married mother, and she liked, though, that Robert was this big life of the party, and he had a huge personality, and
How big is Tom's River anyway?
I don't know. I feel like everyone knew they were having an affair.
Because when you're
because they were out and about.
You can't do this shit.
No. You can't even go about the town and have any kind of a life.
You literally can't leave.
No.
This is in New Jersey, right?
Yeah. So I don't know it's how big Tom's River is.
By Ocean City.
Is it by the ocean?
It's on the Jersey Shore.
Oh, shit.
How big is this place?
They're going from hotel to hotel, porking all around the town. In fact, there's one reenactment where Placenta is seen in a faux fur coat knocking on a hotel door. Mm-hmm. And here, the look for Ferrisenta in this scene, the customer said, I want her to look like a kid who's dressing up as a prostitute for Halloween. And get me that look and put it on Ferrisenta. She would have looked better.
Tom's River has, in 2020, had 95,000 people.
Oh, so it's a bigger place.
Yeah, maybe she could.
Maybe they blended it up. I don't know.
I guess.
So after 3 months, the lovers start discussing. They want to have their own little place where they can go each time instead of going around to various hotels and porking, you know, whenever they can get a chance. They want like a love nest. They want to spend more time together. And they start planning, you know, making these plans. And Rob, though, is thinking at this time that it's not going to be easy to have a divorce because he's been with Maria for so long. His money, he's going to lose a lot of his money. He's going to have to give it to her. Mm-hmm. There's still kids to get through college. You know, he knows a divorce is going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy.
Right. And Maria, though, finds out about the affair 4 months in to the affair because Maria, they show her in the kitchen like pondering, why is my husband all of a sudden out so late? Why does my husband smell like shitty perfume, like Charlie all the time? Why does my husband always smell like Gina Tay? And I don't wear no Gina Tay. And then they show her looking at a phone bill, and Rob is calling the high school all the time. She's like, why is he calling the high school 400 times a day?
Remember when you would get your phone bill and you could see
everybody you called and everyone who called you? Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, every call was on there, and there used to be every text, right? Uh-huh. Or to the phone number.
You could get text,
You know what it said? Yeah. And you would get the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, that's right. So Maria then starts calling about their money accounts and finding out how much money they have, and she starts moving money and taking money out because she realizes Rob is stepping out on her, which was a smart thing for her to do, I think. And she's doing this without him even knowing. Mm-hmm. And then she takes some of that money and hires a private detective. And he follows Rob around and gets all this proof and all these pictures. So Maria is like, yes, this dick, if he's going down, if he asks for divorce, I'm going to clean everything him out because I have all this goddamn proof that he's an asshole.
And maybe in New Jersey, that matters if you have an affair.
Yeah.
Like in Minnesota.
Well, I know. Maybe in 83 sucks. It is. I know.
Because it doesn't matter what you do. It's a no-fault state.
I think a lot of places are like that
are
now.
Like that now.
Rob, though, notices money is gone from their joint account more than usual. He goes up to Maria and says, how come all this money is gone? And Maria says, I don't know. And
what?
Then she starts kind of acting distant and acting like he's an asshole. And Maria's like, I don't know what
Which
you're talking
is the
about.
Greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Rob tries to start being nice to Maria so that she's not going to divorce him and take him to the cleaners. And so it says on September 6th, 1984, Rob says, hey, Maria, let's go on a date like the good old times. Let's go to Atlantic City and have dinner and drinks and gamble a bit. And maybe I can squeeze your boobs or something. And Maria says, fine, sure. And so they show them in Atlantic City gambling. Rob wins $2,500. Lucky. I never win a goddamn thing.
No.
They look like they're having fun and they're having drinks and they're smiling. But they had to go home early, it was said, because something to do with one of their goddamn sons the next day. He probably had some sort of event that they had to go watch and pretend that, you know, they were excited to be there and clap for him or something. So they're driving back home from Atlantic City to Tom's Piss River, wherever they live. And they're all Maria's relaxed and, you know,
and
enjoyed her night.
It was like she forgot that she wanted to get a divorce. And I was like, Maria, never forget.
She didn't. She just was like, that bitch bought me some drinks tonight and he should have. And I'm going to take that $2,500 and I'm going to spend it on other shit for myself.
Well, I hope so, Maria.
But then,
never forget.
Of course, or as it goes in these kind of stories, as you can tell, shit, there's some car trouble. Something's wrong with the tire, Rob says. We got to pull over. First off, if your husband does that to you and you're in this situation, and this is what happens where he says, something's wrong with the car, I have to pull over. You reach for your purse as he's doing this and pulling over. You pull out your mace. You mace that fucker right in the face once he pulls over. You mace the shit out of him. Mace him in his genitals, mace his face, mace his eyes, mace him in the mouth. And then you open his side of the car door, you push him out, you get in the driver's seat, and you just drive away. And if you run over his body, that's fine.
Oh, well.
You get out. And if it was generally something wrong with the car, well, you'll find out as you drive away and run over his body and you say, whoops, I'm sorry for macing you.
But
I'm sorry
for macing your genitals.
But I watched crime shows.
Sorry for running you over.
I knew what you were going to do.
You
would be safe. Better to be safe than sorry. Because these goddamn, how many were these goddamn fuckers have pulled over?
That's why we kept thinking we'd already done this one.
Yes, because it's happened so many goddamn times.
This is at least the third one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Or more than that. I mean, my God. So, as you know, they pull over into a rest stop area. She didn't have her mace ready. I mean, you mace the shit out of it, but he gets out, he looks at the vehicle, says, something's wrong with this back tire, but I need a flashlight. Hun, can you lean down and pop the trunk? So as she's doing that, a man who's hiding in the bushes conveniently right there.
Right. Yeah.
What is he doing? Jerking in the bushes or something? What are you doing?
At a rest stop.
Yes.
God only knows.
He rushes to the car. Right away, he just shoots Maria twice. Mm-hmm. So the Rob, as he's telling the police, says, I just saw someone rush past me, shoot in the window. And then Rob gets hit on the head and he's blacked out. He's knocked out cold.
Yeah.
So when Rob comes to a few minutes later, his head is kind of bleeding. He looks in the car. Maria has been shot twice and she's slumped over in the car. Her purse is gone. And so is the $2,500 that they just won. Rob stops another car. They call 911. The police come. Rob is still bleeding from his head, but Maria has died at the scene. And that's where the police should have said, you know what? I know this. I know what happened already. Wrap it up. Arrest him, put him in the back. The wife is shot twice with the husband has a bump on his head. Why wouldn't the husband be shot?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you shoot the husband first and then just punch the wife and grab the purse?
Right.
Why shoot anybody if you were going to knock someone out? Just knock them out and grab the purse.
Right.
Why are you, someone was hiding right there in the bushes, right there conveniently? Wrap it up. It's solved. It's solved and we're done. But they don't say that.
No.
Then the police decide they have to search for this robbery suspect, but thankfully Maria's private detective is smart, and that same day he finds out Maria has been killed, goes to the police station and says, this dick's been having an affair, and here's yeah. all the proof Maria has been collecting.
I mean, really, he's the hero of this story.
No shit.
Because he hears this and he's like, nope.
Yeah, I he knew care. Right away. Yep. He said, wrap it up. I got it right here. Yep. This dick did this dumbass yep. dick. Police then think, well, I got to bring in this Farah lady. They bring her in and she says, hell yeah, I was having an affair with him. This, but I didn't have anything to do with this. Yeah, Miss Placenta, were you porking this dick? She says, I sure was. Mm-hmm. But she has a solid alibi. Well, of course it wasn't her, but she could have paid for yeah. it, but they
and
let
they were
her
like,
go.
We believe it.
Yeah, of course. Police then decide they need to look for some kind of motive. Why would Rob kill his wife? Well, they know about the affair, but was there more? Well, they take 5 seconds to call about their money situation and find out that this dick Rob, how many insurance policies did he have out on her? How many?
I wrote it to you last night, didn't I?
Yes.
Because I was so, I was like, oh my
it
God.
It wasn't one.
Oh my God.
It wasn't two. Wasn't three. 12.
Four. No. He took eight.
Eight.
Eight insurance policies.
This bitch had 8 insurance policies out on his wife. 8. In fact, he had taken a policy out the morning she was shot.
12 hours before she
Why?
Died.
Why? Why are you so dumb, sir?
You,
sir,
that
why
have been
are you so dumb? Well, obviously an evil, but dumb and evil. So all the insurance policies were $1.58 million.
Oh, my God.
Why do you have 8 policies out on your wife, sir? Come on. Come on. I mean, he's older than her. Generally, the husband might die first. You were really expecting her to kick
and
it.
She had no, she was not bringing an income.
No.
To the family at all.
You didn't
all.
Need to have all these.
And your kids were grown.
Yes. I don't, sir. You are the dumbest.
Yeah.
The dumbest and the shittiest.
Yeah.
They look at Rob's phone records, and so Rob is called a million times this total weirdo named Bobby, and he lives in Louisiana. And I don't know how he met this. Oh, no. He met this weirdo, and they show a real photo of him, and under weirdo in the dictionary was this dick's
yeah,
picture.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, weirdo is the only way it can be described, like total weirdo. Mm-hmm. They met at some barbecue, mm-hmm. and Rob starts talking to this creepy weirdo about ways to get out of his marriage. Why do you talk about this to a weirdo?
And you'd think he could find, it's kind of, I thought it was odd that he had to go to Louisiana to find some weirdo, because you'd think there'd be a lot at the Jersey Shore.
Oh, of course.
But somehow this guy must have been connected.
I don't know.
Freaks. I don't
so
know.
Bobby the weirdo says, yeah, I sure can't get you out of here, merch. And I think Bobby thought maybe Rob wanted to marry him, but he was wrong. He was wrong.
Bobby and
no.
Rob.
So Bobby says, I know another super weirdo named Billy McKinnon. And then police now are like, okay. So they talk to Bobby. Bobby gives up this name of this Billy. And the police track down Billy. And Billy says, yep, Bobby done hired me to kill her real quick. He said, kill her real quick. And then Rob was going to pay me $62,000 for killing this gal. And so the plan was that Billy, hired by Bobby, who was talked into it by Rob, was going to hide as Rob pulls over. Billy's going to wait in the bushes, but then Billy hires out this dick named Larry.
Yes.
And it wasn't Larry from the Three Stooges.
Or Larry from Three's Company.
It was another Larry. And then Billy and Larry are hiding in the bushes, jerking or doing something. And then when Rob pulls over, Larry gets out mm-hmm. and does the shooting and the stealing.
Yes.
All right. So then the police are like, holy shit.
All of a sudden, the $62,000 isn't going very.
No,
like,
there's
split
all
three
these
ways.
Billy and Larry and Bobby.
Yeah.
Bobby and Billy are charged with murder.
Yes.
So Billy, the one who was hired by Bobby, who made Larry do it, gets 5 years in jail, but only serves 18 months.
Can you believe that?
I don't understand that at all.
Mm-mm.
Bobby.
And did they say he was like a sheriff's deputy?
Yes, I think so. He was like a sheriff.
They were like, he had a long rap sheet, but he was a sheriff's deputy.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Bobby, who was the weirdo at the barbecue Rob talked to,
yeah,
was found guilty, but he's out of prison now because he got some arrangement.
Mm.
Like, what is going on? So then Rob is arrested, and Rob is denying everything, that he doesn't know all these Billy, Bobby, Larrys.
He don't know placenta. He don't know
he
nothing.
He don't know nothing. But he's guilty, and he gets life without parole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Larry, the trigger man who shot and did the murder, he gets not guilty in court. I don't understand.
No.
What is going on?
The whole...
That is fuckery. That's fuckery. That jury, you are fuckers. That's what you all are. Fucker people. All of you. 12 straight up fuckers. Because Larry, then 30 years Larry, Larry says, just kidding, y'all. I did it. Have fooled y'all. I did shoot her and I did take that purse, y'all. And then he couldn't be tried again.
No.
What the hell is going on?
Double jeopardy.
Luzanna, you got to pull your juries better. Fucker people. 18 months?
And the worst part was two of the sons of Rob and Maria, two were like, our dad's a fucking dick. He did it. And the youngest one still thought his dad could not have done it.
He maybe.
And he said, my dad's not dumb enough to do something like that. And we were like,
he's pretty dumb, son. He's pretty dumb.
Pretty dumb.
Oh. Well, what a tragic story. Tragic, terrible story of terrible, terrible, terrible men.
It was.
Oh, my God. Dumb, dumb, dumb men. Terrible men. With no morals, lazy,
and
horny, boner men.
And one placenta.
And placenta, you could have had better, maybe. I don't know. I still think there were bags over the heads
questionable
of
questionable with your eyeliner.
Right.
But
shitty.
Yeah.
Straight up shitty. All right. Well, we have our book club in
1 week.
1 week.
On the
if you
30th.
Want to join,
it's at 7:30
Central.
Central. So if you don't live in the Midwest like us,
you got to figure that time shit
out. Figure it out, because we don't know how. And we'll see you on Zoom. We always post it in our It's Always the Husband podcast group.
Yep. And I forgot to put it on Instagram last time today, but I will.
We are reading Don't Let Her Stay. And it
by Nicola.
It is fucking with my mind.
Yes, it does that. It's a gaslighter.
Oh, yep. I'm almost done. Yeah. I'm listening to it. And
that's why I picked it, because at the end I was like, someone else has to read this, because I just need to see what someone else thinks.
No, this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't figure it out. So it's good and frustrating.
It's very frustrating in that way, because
it gives you anxiety.
It does. It flips you around. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's it. So spread the word if you could. Share us with some friends so we can, or take your friends' phones and just find the podcast and click to save the plus to download us in Spotify or Apple, whatever, just so and all your friends are getting downloaded too. Spread the word.
Yeah,
if you can, we would appreciate it huge if you could do that, or give a review. We would love that too. Just to get some more word of mouth, because our advertising doesn't, I don't know. I could bump it up a little bit more, but We don't really have a promo. It's the problem.
We don't know how to do things.
We have to do a promo and spread the word, but we don't know how to do it.
So, yeah. And we're too cheap to hire a marketing
I know.
Person.
We don't have any cash for that.
No.
Unless you know how to do it and want to help us for free. Any listeners, thanks. We would appreciate it.
Thanks and bye.
Yeah.